We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
We are breaking down all aspects of Yankee baseball. This is the Bronx Pinstripe Show with your hosts, Andrew Rotondi and Scott Reinen. Let's go.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. We're brought to you today by Shady Rays. If you're trying to give someone the side eye, but you don't want cameras to notice you, go get a pair of Shady Rays sunglasses. Go to ShadyRays.com and use promo code Bronx for 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. It's Friday. It feels like they've played 7 weeks since we last recorded, Scott. This is an example of one of those times where I wish there wasn't a four-game series, because as soon as the Judge side-eye stuff happened and then Herman got ejected for sticky stuff, I'm like, we need to talk about this, but we weren't recording again until Friday. Other times, you play a series and you're like, what the hell are we going to talk about? Nothing happened. Those were boring-ass games. This was not one of those weeks.
This was an action-packed week of everything you could possibly want, and good Yankees baseball as far as wins at the end of the day too. This would have felt a lot different if they didn't win the series, but they did. So that's great, and really on the back of Aaron Judge, who just was a man this week, was a man in Toronto, and basically just shut everybody up, which I absolutely loved. And I love the fact that he was chirping a little bit. He was not shying away from people talking about him. Usually he has no comment, but he had comments. He had thoughts, and then he hit moonshots that were breaking things in Toronto. I loved it.
Yeah, and he adopted the celebration of covering his eyes whenever he got a hit or a home run. So yeah, that's the big thing, right? Like, it was weird. I've never seen a player, like, as the pitcher is getting ready to deliver a pitch, look over and move his eyes somewhere. So this all kind of exploded because the Blue Jays broadcasters made a big deal about it, which I don't blame them, right? Like, they see that happening. They're obviously going to talk about it. The Yankees broadcast would have done the exact same thing if it was another player. But what did you think of the whole thing? Like, after the game, he was asked about it. And I don't know if you watched his post-game presser.
I watched it, heard all the sound clips, watched or saw it, 8 billion social media posts about his comments. Look, man, at the end of the day, I'm mad at the Astros. Okay, I'm mad at the Astros because they've ruined it for everybody. They've ruined all of the gamesmanship and all the things that happen on a game to game basis. Every single time you take the field, they've ruined it, because now everybody's looking for everything. Which, fine, everybody's looking. They see his eyes. It is strange. We can zoom in. We can pause it. We can do all these things, and we can speculate on what he was looking at. But at the end of the day, if the Yankees are trying to pick up sign or pick up a tell on a pitcher or something that's going on in a game, and they're doing it with their eyes, and then they're relaying manual messages to their own players on the field, then there's nothing wrong with that. It's been going on forever and ever and ever and ever. And it happens in every sport. Every single time there's a guy that's doing well, or you're playing an opponent, you're looking. And there's not just the players, but the coaches, the bat boys, all the people are looking for a thing that gives you an advantage so that you can pick up when that guy does the same thing again. And that's what happened. They found a tell, and first base coach was at some point sending in a signal or giving some kind of a sign that said something. And guess what? As Schneider said, when they went back and reviewed the tape, because that's what they were like, we got to go review the whole tape and see what the deal was. They saw it too. And he even said that we got to clean up some stuff. So yeah, there was a tell and the Yankees picked up on it. This is a division opponent. You know your opponent. You know your division opponents better than anybody. And that was it. And his eyes got caught on camera looking over at whomever was giving him the sign. Nothing wrong with it.
So I'm glad that's what your opinion is, because if your opinion was actually going to be, no, he was looking in the dugout to see who was yelling at the umpire, I would have said, well, you're a fool. Because anyone who believes that is a fool. And you're right. The Astros did ruin it. There's been a lot of... So people hear the phrase pitch tipping or sign...
Stealing signs
or relaying signs. And you're right. They immediately think Astros banging trash cans, using dugout or, you know,
cameras, using high definition,
exactly,
telescopic cameras to see signals that are being thrown down.
And that, because of PitchCom, because of the regulations that MLB has put in place on dugout cameras and clubhouse cameras, can't happen anymore. You can't do that. So the only way to pick up on a tendency is what the pitcher is doing. Maybe he comes set in a different position when he's throwing a breaking ball. Maybe he wiggles his glove, something like that. And if that's what they picked up, like you said, and they're relaying it to the batter through players or through a coach, you know, think of that what you may, but that's been going on in baseball since the beginning of time. And it's something that teams need to take upon themselves to regulate by not doing it. Or if they're really, you know, pissed off about it, then they're going to throw inside on a guy or something like that. But yeah, no, this is not cheating that people immediately see the headline of Judge side eye relaying signals cheating. It's like, oh God, here we go.
So, you know, when you listen to the broadcast and you hear the guys talking about it, one, I know we're all big fans of David Cone, and the way that he talks about pitching is it's a masterclass a lot of the time when he goes deep into it, because he'll get very detailed and talk about all the things that he did or that guys were doing when he was playing. And, you know, this is much ado about nothing. This is exactly what has been going on for a long time. And I'm not saying, like, you know, yelling at the clouds, old man, like it has to be the way it is. It's always been that way, but it's in sports, in every sport, you're trying to gain an advantage within the letter of the law, and within the letter of the law, this is allowed. And in the past, it's always been policed between the lines with the players and the managers doing things to say, okay, we know that you're doing this. We want you to stop doing this. So we're going to do something that makes you think twice about doing it another time, because we know, just so you know, we know. And usually that would put an end to something, or they would change up a particular thing. They didn't realize it until after the game. Until everybody was making a big deal of this thing. So, you know, I said this a while ago when they switched everything to PitchCom, and I made a joke about it in our chat, but at some point it's going to happen. You know, now we have a radio, or now we have a digital signal going from the catcher to the pitcher. The pitcher is listening to a particular thing. The catcher is keying in a particular thing, and a message is being sent. At some point, someone is going to be picking up that radio frequency or whatever the digital signal and intercepting it. I'm surprised to me, that seems so much easier than actually, like, you know, orchestrating an entire Astros thing with the cameras.
Well,
and
that
the
would
of a trash
be more
can.
Closely to the Astros thing than it is just you pick
that would
up
be
a
much
tell.
More closely. That is using,
because you're using technology,
yes,
to
that is
cheat
malicious
versus right. You're just using your on-field awareness and noticing of things to get an advantage.
this goes back to like the common sense department here. Does it feel icky? Yeah, it would. That would feel like, that would feel that it doesn't work. That's not the right thing to do. Cameras, no, that doesn't feel right. If you see something, okay. Your eyes are picking up on something, then good for you to pick up a pattern or, you know, be able to pick up on some kind of a tell. But yeah, you start using outside technology, different story. And I don't think the Yankees have a baby monitor hanging out in the clubhouse and they're picking up on what the pitch com is going. But that will happen at some point, I promise you.
Do you think it's a gray area on pitch tipping and signaling when the dugout gets involved?
No, because the dugout's always involved. They're always involved. They're the ones that are looking. You can't pick up on that stuff and find it when you're at the plate, usually. It's usually guys who are studying and watching.
What I mean is, obviously the guys in the dugout are studying. But what I mean is the signal is then coming from the dugout, not from something on the field.
No. Because the signals from, you know, the pitcher is getting a signal from a base coach every at bat. The pitchers, in some cases, are getting the pitches called through the catcher from the manager in the dugout. So it happens all the time in other areas. That's no problem. Why shouldn't it be a problem here?
What the Red Sox got in trouble for in 2018, which was Cora's first year with them, was the dugout was relaying signals to runners on base who were then relaying it to batters.
But how did they get the original signal? It was via
through some form technology. I don't know if they were using the same camera setup that the Astros were using. I'm sure they were using some adaptation of it because Cora, but yeah.
So again, you go to the root of how that was obtained, and that's where do you feel good about that? Do you not feel good about that? Does it pass the smell test? Does it not pass the smell test? So yeah, no, if you have a guy on second base and your dugout is picking up a tell from the pitcher and you give them, you know, a swipe down the arm to tell them something, and then they relay a message via another signal to the batter, like, fair game. Don't be caught in that way as the team, you know, giving the tell.
And so, I mean, I guess credit to Judge for coming up with a lie fairly quickly on the spot when he was asked about it. I'm sure he was probably preparing for that question. He probably got a heads up like, hey, the cameras caught you doing this. You're going to be asked about this. But as soon as he was asked the question and he looked down and smirked, I knew he was lying. Everyone knew he was lying.
It's fine. He's not going to go out in there and say that, yeah, we picked up on, you know, the glove placement on the pitcher.
No, I don't expect him to say that. I'm saying,
I know, but that's my point.
You've got to be a better actor, Judge. You're now the captain of the New York Yankees. You got to be prepared. You got to be able to act. What would Jeter do in that situation? Stare dead into the reporter's eyes, daggers through that motherfucker's eyes, and make him wish he didn't ask that question.
That's
and then
true.
With a dry tone, say, yeah, my teammates were jawing. I was trying to concentrate, so I was looking over there to see who they were so I could tell them to shut up.
No, he would say, I don't remember. I look around sometimes.
You know? So Judge,
I don't remember what my eyes do on every at-bat.
Next time, no smirking, no looking down, because you're going to get found out. And then so...
You know, it could have been a guy in the first row said something about my mother. You know what I mean? Like...
So then this all led to the Blue Jays being upset about the base coach positioning of the Yankees, because that's probably where it was coming from. As you said, the first base coach or third base coach, if it's a left-handed hitter. So they're complaining about the positioning of those base coaches for the Yankees. And that became a whole spiral of crap the next night, when just yelling back and forth, Schneider yelling "shut up, fat boy" to what was it, Wilkerson?
It must have been that was the
well, that's production. that was I think didn't the Athletic say that about
the Athletic dives in again, the Athletic
shut
breaks
up, fat boy, which is like, Schneider, you're just as fat, like don't throw
stones.
Yeah,
he wears it differently though, you know what I'm saying? Like,
it's the beard.
It's just
the beard.
No, he's just like he's stocky. He's like he looks strong, whereas Wilkerson just looks like he's had Listen, drank a lot of beer Schneider, after his post-career.
Schneider should not be yelling fat boy to anyone. That's all I'm saying.
I like, think if, it's funny. It's just funny.
If he's Gabe Kapler, if he's Gabe Kapler in the other dugout, like Iron Man over there, fine. Call someone a fat boy because you've got a freaking 12-pack.
But I think it's hilarious when baseball players and coaches especially call each other names. I think it's just
well, because fat boy is
grown ass yard, and he says fat boy, like that's hilarious.
That's something you insult someone when you're 10.
Yeah, it's a ridiculous it's a ridiculous thing, and that's what that I mean. That's baseball because you have that's baseball, Susan. You have grown men kicking dirt and screaming at other grown men for very small things.
Yeah, and speaking of fat boys, Lance Lynn said that if he caught Aaron Judge peeking, he would have hit him. Hot dog, Lance Lynn.
Hot dog fingers, hot dog smelling Lance Lynn.
No, that's So if people don't remember back when Lance Lynn was a New York Yankee, we said he probably smells like hot dogs when he sweats. So that's why we nicknamed hot dog Lance Lynn.
And that's again, going back to what Coney was talking about, is policing the game within
exactly.
The game.
Yeah, you're pissed that a guy is, first of all, you're pissed that a guy is picking up on your tips. Don't tip anymore. But secondly, yeah,
and then Judge hits a moonshot.
Oh my God.
On the tip.
Just like unbelievable. That's what happens when you know what pitch is coming. look how easy it is to hit when you know what pitch is coming.
It was a bad pitch for the record. It was to be fair, it was a spinning breaking ball in the middle of the plate, but yes. If you're looking for a breaking ball and then it all of a sudden is in your wheelhouse.
When you're sitting Aaron on Judge, slider and then it's a spinner in the middle of the plate, it's going to be crushed.
Unless it's a sweeper, then, you know, could be totally different.
And I think this the whole week got turned up to an 11 when Herman gets tossed for sticky stuff the very next night. Because the entire, 18-hour period after Monday's game is cheating and Judge side-eye and everything. And then, boom, fourth inning, Domingo Herman ejected for sticky substances. It's like, oh,
after throwing
God.
A perfect game?
Yeah.
Like, he was perfect through that, right?
Yeah. Herman's
a moron.
Hold on. Second time. He's been perfect into a game, like deep into a game, and coincidentally, both times inspected for sticky stuff. Like, I knew he was doing something shady in that Minnesota game. Everyone should have known. Domingo Herman, noted, not very good guy, was doing something wrong. Okay, let's use our freaking brain here.
Also, read the room, which he doesn't know how to do.
He's an idiot.
He's a moron. He really is a moron. He really is a moron. We could have been, I know he's been pitching well recently, but
why do you think he's been pitching well?
Well, rosin, sticky rosin.
No, that wasn't rosin.
It was, I mean, if you listen to his post-game interview at the locker, it was pretty long. It was like 8 minutes long, but there were a lot of things in there. And when they asked him about the brown stuff on his pants, it was a really immediate reaction. And actually, when you look back at it, he was probably telling the truth that it was tobacco because he took his tobacco out and wiped it on his pants, which makes a lot of sense. That said, like, what about tobacco? Does tobacco get sticky with rosin and sweat? Like, I don't know. It might. Cohn was talking about every time when he would go out, he would grab the rosin bag from the on deck circle because it had a little bit of pine tar in it. Things that guys did all the time. That was a thing. But now you're being scrutinized at such a high level. Not only in this series because of the whole eye thing, but
yep.
but bro, you were one of the people that got caught or that got ejected.
You already had a warning. He didn't get ejected. He had a warning.
You're on the watch list.
You got inspected.
Didn't get ejected. Right. You're on the watch list. You are on the watch list and people are looking at what you're doing. So maybe be a little bit more conscious about this. And I still believe that there is a ton of gray area in the way that they are interpreting what is deemed allowed and what is not. It's still that they really need to get some clarification and actually come up with some kind of a system that is either yes or
that's
no.
That's true.
But
before we get to that part of it though, like Domingo Herman, this is like you get pulled over, you're going 12 miles an hour over the speed limit and the cop's having a nice day. So he's like, I'm just going to give this guy a warning. And what do? You peel out from the cop and start going like 80 miles an hour. It's like, dude,
or you go by the same section. This happened to me 2 weeks ago. I got pulled over on the way to a softball
game. Same section.
And I was going I was going 20 over, which reckless driving, that's not good. I was passing someone. It was fine. It was not a big deal. Guy, let me go.
Wow.
Awesome. Like, yeah, Merry Christmas. I'll be damned if I'm speeding that much when I'm in that same area, you know, or going to the same place. No. And I'll wave at the cop next time. Like, thank you. Going the speed limit or going inside 10 over. Yeah. Don't be stupid. Don't be stupid. It's, again, a lot of this goes back down to
common sense department. And yeah. Domingo Herman doesn't have a lot of.
We could make millions consulting.
We could at least make thousands. So James Hoyt, the crew chief, said that Domingo Herman's right hand was the, quote, stickiest hand I've ever felt, extremely shiny. And he added that the substance was definitely not rosin. It was, others have said it was a pine tar like substance. And so like we said, April 15th against the Twins, he gets all that warning. Rocco Baldelli's like freaking out in that game. He's like, you warned him and then you inspected him again and you told him to go wash his hands. Like, why aren't you throwing him out? Like, at the time, I think Rocco Baldelli had a point. And then so like, you're not going to get a warning again, Domingo Herman. You're on the watch list. Apparently, after that incident and then a couple days later when Max Scherzer was ejected from the game, MLB sent a memo to all teams. And this is reading from an SI article. The official rosin bag behind the pitcher's plate. First of all, pitchers behind the pitcher's plate. Since when is it a pitcher's plate?
It's like a sweeper. It's a mound and a rubber.
We're just changing baseball terms now, MLB. The official rosin bag behind the pitcher's plate may be used by a pitcher during an inning. However, there is no reason for a pitcher to apply rosin when he is not on the field or in the bullpen. Umpires may inspect pitchers to check their compliance with these rules before, during, or after an inning. We have instructed umpires to vary the time and frequency of pitcher inspections to create additional difference. So,
unless your name is Domingo Herman, in which you will get checked every time.
April 15th, you get warned. 3 days later, 2 days later, Max Scherzer gets ejected from a game, one of the most high profile pitchers in the game. So like literally, that's a big deal. Headline news across things. Then probably a day later, 2 days later, MLB sends this memo out. I'm guessing the Yankees had a sit down with Domingo Herman. If they didn't, shame on them. But even if they didn't, Domingo Herman, you should be aware of this stuff happening and not get caught.
Not get caught. Don't do it. Don't
that's
do
what
the
I mean.
Thing
don't get caught
not
doing
to do.
Exactly. That's what I mean.
So if there's a clear rule, and that is a clear rule, use the rosin bag on the mound. Now here becomes the unclear rule. What if the umpire, and I don't know, we were looking back to see if we could find this. Did he check him on the way into the dugout the previous inning? Did he look at it well enough and not notice the sticky stuff? And then on the way out, the sticky stuff, which Herman's like, oh, I checked it. My hand is still sticky. I'm going to leave it there. You know, when I'm in the dugout, I'm not going to wipe it off. I'm going to leave it there because obviously I want it. And then deemed it not good on the way in. I'm making shit up at this point, but you can do that because there's flexibility to make stuff up and to speculate. And that's what they need to eliminate. They need to eliminate the speculation and be like, look, if you're going to use a particular thing, and this is what Cohen talked about, we've talked about this a number of times. Like the solution is make, if it's rosin, then make it legal. If they use the rosin wherever, like if you're using it on the mound, then fine. But the thing is, they don't know what is and what isn't rosin. It very well could have been chewing tobacco that he pulled out of his mouth, wiped on his hand, and then they checked it, and it was brown because of the tobacco, and he had the rosin. I'm not giving him an excuse, but I'm saying like there's a lot of things that could be.
So the only way to truly, I think, police this is to not allow rosin. You can't use rosin on the mound.
Well, they're going to have bigger problems with that. Especially when it gets hot out.
Okay, fine. Then if you're going to allow rosin, you need to do checks before and after every inning of a pitcher's hand. When he's coming out of the dugout to go to the mound.
They do.
Not every inning.
No, but that's exactly what happened with Herman here. They check. I'm assuming they checked him going into the dugout because they do that almost every inning. All right? So if they did that and then he came back out, they did that. That what you just said, there's still gray area around the on those checks.
But if you're coming out to a mound from the dugout and the umpire checks your hand and he says you're good to go, then everyone can see what you're doing while you're on the mound. if you're
in theory,
if you're, well, yeah, unless you're freaking Houdini out there, like really pulling stuff. But like, if you're clearly like doing something that looks shady, you're going to get called on that. But if all you're doing is touching the rosin bag, okay, then he's going to check you on the way back out. But if you come out of the dugout ready to go to the mound and the umpire's like, no, this is way too sticky of a hand, go wash the hand, and then you come back out and it's clean, then all you can use is the rosin out there. Yeah, I'm sure you could touch your hat or something, but like, then you're getting checked on the way back out. And if on the way back out, the umpire says, oh, this is much stickier than a rosin bag would make your hand, even with
sweat. Again, there's
sweat.
Gray. That's gray. That's gray.
There's always going to be a little bit of gray. But right now it is like 87% gray.
He's like, it's clearly not rosin. Okay, now you're telling me that it wasn't rosin. So you better be able to tell me exactly what it was. If that's
he
the
said
case.
It was a pine tar-like substance.
Which could that not be like, could tobacco, when you pull tobacco out, chewing tobacco that's been chewed.
We need to get some scientists on this. We need to get some like kids in a high school lab mixing different things with rosin to see what kind of sticky substances you can make. Who knows? Tobacco could be like a thinning agent on the rosin. We don't know.
We don't. Logan, you had something?
Yeah, I got a couple of things. So first of all, like Coney talked about it on the broadcast and I kind of just double checked it. Like his spin rate was not up.
Right, spin, so, yeah, I heard that.
So, like, be all end all, like, the point of sticky stuff, get the spin rate up, makes your stuff better. Spin rate's not up, so...
No, but you can have better command on your pitches.
Yeah, but you if you're using sticky stuff, the way I understand it is your spin rate's just going to go up because of the how long you're in contact with the ball for. So even if you have better, like, even if it's just for command, your spin rate is going to tick up
what
like,
if
significantly enough to notice.
What if he's been using sticky stuff all season? So his spin rate is not up because he's been doing this all season, every single start.
It's possible, but then that's bad on the umpires because they've only
caught you're telling me umpires are incompetent?
Well, maybe a little. Also, I mean, I don't know if you guys listen to Boone's post game, but he was
not
happy. He was like very, very upset.
Yeah, because his player is stupid.
Yeah, and it, well, regardless of the fact like that he was out of the game, like the bullpen is like a problem.
Shot. And now he's suspended for 10 games. You have to carry him on the roster. You can't replace him on the roster. Yeah, Severino.
I didn't realize that wrinkle in the rule there.
Because that makes sense. You've got to be penalized. Yeah. Severino is going to come back probably on Sunday in Cincinnati to take his turn in the rotation. But Severino's coming back from injury. He's not ready to go 7 innings, right? So you don't have an off day until after the Cincinnati series. You've just played this gauntlet of games where you had to rely on Ryan Weber, Ron Marinaccio, and Albert Abreu to close out a game, which they did against the Blue Jays. But like, you are thin as crap, and Domingo Germán is actively hurting you.
Yeah, he is. There's no doubt that the 10-game suspension and not being able to replace, not to mention Ian Hamilton has to get up quickly to come into the game, and then all of a sudden he pops a groin and is now out 4 weeks plus. So, right. You know, you can look at that as a coincidence, or you can look at that as a guy rushed to get in, wasn't fully ready, and hurt himself because of that, which 100% I could see happening. So there's definitely a trickle-down effect for the moronic decisions that Domingo Germán makes. And
he's frustrating because he's not good enough to put up with all this stuff, but the Yankees have put up with him for 5 plus years, however long. When did the incident with his
girlfriend
happen?
Sabathia,
was it 2019, 2019, right?
It was 2019 because remember he got suspended for the playoffs and everybody was like, this is why we have to have nobody to start games.
Because he was pitching well. Wasn't he pitching well at that point? Yeah. So it was 2019. So after that, 20, 21, 22, and now 23. We're going on the fourth season. We're putting up with Domingo Germán bullshit. For a mediocre pitcher. He's not terrible, but he's mediocre.
Oh, he's awesome when he's got some sticky shit on his fingers. Some would say perfect.
Does anyone know if he was just mixing Athletic Greens with the rosin and maybe that's why it was extra sticky? I don't know. I don't think
Athletic Greens. It won't give you the discoloration, which is a good thing.
Yeah, I don't think AG1 is that kind of powder. But AG1 is so much more than a greens powder. It is your key to health products. It is all your key health products in one. Excuse me. I cannot stress how convenient it is. You scoop it in and you dump 8 or 12 ounces of water in it, and you are good to go. It is loaded with 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food-sourced ingredients, probiotics, and adaptogens. AG1 gives you so many benefits, like better sleep quality and recovery. It also promotes gut health with pre and probiotics. And AG1 contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial flavoring. You know what you are putting in your body is high quality and good. It is affordable. Every serving costs less than $3, which is less than you're going to be spending on your daily cup of coffee or an energy drink or anything like that. It's so easy to build into your routine. I can't speak. Domingo Herman's just got me angry. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews and is trusted by athletes and health experts around the world. Check them out. Go to athleticgreens.com/pinstripes for a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs. Thank you so much to Athletic Greens for sponsoring our show.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right. Do you want to touch on anything else from the cheating scandals this week?
It was cheat week.
I don't want to call it cheating because it wasn't, but
Domingo Herman was cheating. Aaron Judge maybe was cheating.
Maybe.
You believe you're on Domingo Herman's side?
No, I just want clarity. I'm never on Domingo Herman's side, just for the record. But I just want clarity. It's not right that they have arbitrary, granted the strike zone is an arbitrary decision, I guess, but I don't like putting any more control into the umpire's hands. You know what I'm saying? Like you can now take a little bit of marijuana and put it into a machine and it says the percentage of how pure said marijuana is or how good. Can't you do that with the sticky shit? You know what I'm saying?
So
give me a little scan. Give me some AI and scan that shit. And tell me what it is.
Maybe a swab, right?
Dude, you know what? Hold on. I have an app on my phone, okay? We bought a new house. The person who lived here before had a green thumb. And there's plants everywhere. I have no idea what these plants are. It's springtime. They're starting to pop up. There's an app on my phone where I can take a picture of any plant, any leaf, any tree, anything you could think of that's growing from the ground. And it scans it. It even does like the red thing, which is very satisfying. And then it tells me exactly what it is. And it's like 99% accurate. It's unbelievable how accurate it is. And then it tells me all the things about it, how I can keep it alive, how much sun it needs, how much water. Like, it's ridiculous. Why can't they do that with someone's finger?
Well, I think what it would be is you'd have to swab it and then do like a little test. And maybe there's something like the water.
I just gave you the exact, just no, just you scan can't it do, with you, an
a, no, because not? with a plant, they've got a database of millions of pictures.
Create
of
a database.
Plants, so they can, you're going to create a database for what something looks like on someone's hand?
Logan, yes, you are. Yes, okay. You are.
Fine.
Okay.
That's going to take some time to build it up. They've got to take the pictures.
Fine. Figure it out.
I guess I got to go to a lot of games.
Can the app smell? Can the phone smell your
What do we think Domingo Herman's hands smelled like?
Chewing tobacco. Chaw.
Man. Well, yeah, it was a distraction from an otherwise really, really exciting series in which the Yankees took 3 out of 4 from the Blue Jays. And you could just tell, like, the Blue Jays hate the Yankees. And the Yankees are kind of just like, eh, you guys are annoying, but, like, we're just going to go beat you. Like, okay, cool. Judge is going to be like, yeah, I'm just going to hit a bunch of bombs to center field, break off that new shiny maple leaf that you put out there. Also, like, the renovations do look nice. I like it way better than the old stadium. It makes it just feel more like a modern day ballpark than something built in like the early 90s cookie cutter type bullshit. But
yeah,
Judge is like, yeah, I'm going to break in this new stadium, this new renovations for you.
I mean, ever since this guy came back from the IL, he's been phenomenal. 4 home runs in the series, just barely missed another one off the wall. And, you know, again, like you see all the controversy that was made about the eye thing. And what does Judge do? He just hits home runs. He says, okay, you're going to talk about me in a way that I don't appreciate. I'm just going to go out there and hit fucking moon balls and carry my team to a 3 out of 4 series win in Toronto. That's the best thing you could possibly do.
I was expecting him to get plunked at some point in the series. Now, I know that pitcher for the Blue Jays probably would have immediately been ejected because it's very obvious what he was doing. And maybe they didn't do it because all the games were close and they're trying to win games. But I was shocked.
There would have been an all-out brawl if they hit Judge, because you know damn well that entire team is coming out there.
Don't you think that's what the Blue Jays want? They're trying to get motivated here. They're trying to beat the Yankees. Like, don't you think they wanted a brawl? No, you've got their manager calling someone fat boy. They wanted to fight.
Yeah, I am surprised there wasn't an altercation of some sort. But yeah, I don't know why they didn't, but they didn't. If they had hit Judge, though, there would have been a big problem.
I was expecting at least to get a brushback, like, especially after he just keeps tanking balls to center field, like bomb after bomb to center field.
Yeah, not or even hit the, in, like, not hit, even hit inside. Volpe, hit the kid that just walked into the situation. Also, I could see, a lot of protective Yankees teammates not feeling good about that.
Yeah, and it's like, I know they did walk Judge in that extra inning game to get to Rizzo. Rizzo struck out, but like Rizzo was looking kind of terrible at the plate, especially the last 2 days. So I'm surprised they didn't even just pitch around Judge even more than they did.
Yeah, and I mean, they may have tried that ball that he hit to the moon after the side eye thing wasn't intended to be spinning over the middle of the plate.
True. And I just love that they're getting to Alek Manoah. Like, he's not had a good season, but just, you know, another fat boy out there. Like, again, Schneider, like, look at your own team is fat. Vlad is fat. Everyone in that freaking dugout's fat, pretty much.
Yeah. So, you know, if you are what you eat, you're allowed to call people that, I guess. I know fat boys. And you know what, Wilkerson? You're a fat boy. Sit down.
Wilkerson's got that, like, the jowls. That's what makes him look extra fat. Like, I think just, like, from a BMI index, like I bet Schneider's got more than Wilkerson, but Wilkerson's got the jowls.
I'm telling you, Schneider just wears it differently. Wears it more like a baseball player. Whereas Wilkerson just looks like he's two sheets to the wind, and you know, retired playing baseball and just started drinking a lot of Budweiser, Bud heavy. Yeah.
The opener, first time the Yankees have done the opener. So I went back and looked. They had not done an opener since 2021, and they used Michael King and Nick Nelson combined for 8 opener appearances in 2021. Now, maybe Michael King was not technically an opener back in 2021, because at the beginning of that season, they could have still tried to use him as a starter, but he didn't pitch deep into any of those games. But it had been a couple of years since they went with the opener, and it worked on Monday.
I have a hard time saying it worked. Like, yeah, okay, the pitchers... Okay, yeah, it did work, but I'm not saying the opener strategy worked. Like,
Cordero pitched well, and then Brito pitched 5 1/3 innings with only 1 run, and there were 4 1 earned run. So 4 of the runs were thanks to a Glaber error that he ended up. It was late in that game, right? The Yankees had a big lead at the time. Brito was still in. Glaber doesn't make that error, and he's not giving up four runs. It was.
So you reverse the pitching order there, and you go Brito for five innings, and then Cordero.
Brito gets knocked out in the second inning.
That's what I don't know. Like, I know. This is where it's the same thing. It's the same thing. We just reverse the order.
We were talking about before this, because Hal Steinbrenner made some comments to Joel Sherman on his podcast about the Yankees struggling base running. And we were talking about Gleyber Torres just not being a smart baseball player. And he made a couple of also bad plays in this series. He made the error in that game on Monday. And then there was a play, I think it was the Tuesday game, where it was a ball that he tried to get the runner at. He tried to get the lead runner at second base, and he just like had no shot at getting it. And even Cone mentioned on the broadcast, like, you need to have better field awareness in that instance and just take the short out. And that's the thing about Gleyber. He does not have good field awareness. Like, I understand errors are going to happen, but so many of his mistakes, whether it's getting thrown out on the base paths or making bad plays in the field, I feel like so many of his mistakes come from a lack of focus, a lack of mental awareness. He's a dumb baseball player. He's a talented baseball player. He's very talented at times, and he looks like a great player at times. And then other times he just looks terrible because he's stupid.
You know, the old cliche that they tell little leaguers, and it's not a cliche, actually, it's very true, is don't think, react. So you should be prepared for situations when they come. And when you're in the field and you understand what the situation is, there's a runner on first base, runner on third base, whatever the situation is, you need to understand that slow roller, here's where I'm going with the ball. Ball hit up the middle, here's where I'm going with the ball. And all of these mental checks just automatically happen because you've done it so many times and you know what's happening. But you need to go through those mental checks, you know, subconsciously, to then react so that your body is reacting to a whatever happens on the field, because there's a lot of different things that can happen. And I feel like when Gleyber is out there, he's like, field the ball, field the ball, field the ball. And then he's like, where do I throw it? Where do I throw it? And then looks around and he doesn't go through that mental checklist that subconsciously happens with 9 out of 10 baseball players. And you know, the percentage is even higher that when you get to the major leagues, because these guys have the muscle memory and just ingrained these situations. But yeah, I feel like he tries to think too much on the field and then thinks the wrong thing and does the wrong thing.
This is his sixth year, okay? And I feel like back in 2018, when he got called up as a rookie, he was just using his baseball instincts and reactions much more. And then as time went on,
young and dumb, which is a good thing.
It was bad. Like, errors happened, but it wasn't these egregiously bad mental mistakes that sometimes cost them games. And then as the seasons went on, especially I think it was the 2020 COVID season, where he would boot a ball in the field and then you knew he was gone for the next week and a half.
Yeah, because the week and a half, that's a long time. Remember when 8 days ago I booted that ball? Man, that was bad. I shouldn't have done
that. I vividly remember a game in Detroit where I think it was early in the game, Cole might have even been pitching. He booted a ball at shortstop. And then I think he made like two more errors in that game and was just like slumping his shoulders, walking around.
Yeah, he just wears it all over his body.
And it was coinciding with, if you remember that year as well, Cashman called him out for not coming into the
Fat Boy.
The panda. He called him Fat Boy. He called him Fatso. He came into the second spring training camp when they were getting ready to start the season out of shape. So he got the COVID body during the pandemic. And so it's like, he was just having a bad go of it. Right. And he was,
and now he's got the long COVID brain, you know, just slow to react. Can't think about things.
Too much, and
you know, he started out hot too, stealing the bases. And you know, Hal was talking about, first of all, we need to talk about the what Hal mentioned and who he's having meetings with, because I think that's very interesting. But one of the things that he had talked about was the base running, and yeah, Gleyber has been thrown out four of nine
attempts. Yep, he's been thrown out 4 of 9 stolen base attempts, which is terrible, obviously.
Yeah, for those that are counting, that's close to a 50% clip, not quite, but close. And that's not good, especially when you start out stealing a bunch of bases in that. It's just like instinctual first step, like those things really matter a lot in baseball. And, you know, we talked and praised Volpe for that first step and the instinct. And it's just like the opposite of what Gleyber has.
But again, like I said, Gleyber, I felt like had those in his first season with the Yankees, and they've regressed. He has regressed as a player under Aaron Boone. And I'm not necessarily blaming Aaron Boone, but we've said this so many times. Joe Girardi gets fired for being too hard on his players and he couldn't relate to the young players. Aaron Boone comes in and he's supposed to be this great communicator that can get through the young players. Other than Aaron Judge, who I just think was so amazing beyond any coach, right? Like he was going to succeed no matter what. Mm-hmm. Every young player under the Aaron Boone coaching staff has regressed. So Gary Sanchez just completely imploded. Luis Severino, I mean, maybe you just blame it on the injuries, fine. But Gleyber Torres specifically is like the big one. He was an all-star in 2018 and 2019, and he has just gone downhill ever since.
Aaron Hicks? Aaron Hicks was actually a baseball player at that
point. He wasn't a young player, though.
No, but he was a baseball player. He was like kind of a promising baseball player. Toolsy guy.
Like, was Joe Girardi the best thing ever? No. And like we saw, his style didn't work in Philadelphia. He gets fired and then they go to the World Series. But the Yankees were a smarter baseball team under Joe Girardi. You can't deny that.
Yeah. Aaron Boone doesn't make anybody smarter. That's not part of his coaching philosophy.
You mentioned
the meetings.
So Joel Sherman, he did a podcast with him. A couple things. $293 million is not a cap, and they will go over it if a move is necessary. They say that every single year. Guess what? They're going to come to the deadline. Oh, no necessary moves. No, nothing that would make our team better. Okay, got it.
Steve Cohen makes him have to say that too.
He said he will start having meetings with Judge, Cole, and Cashman without Boone to see ways of making the team better.
So talking about the smarts and you know, making everybody better and smarter, let's make sure that we don't include the manager on it. It's like coming in and auditing a company, but not gonna the guy in charge. We want to see what everybody actually thinks and what really happens on the ground.
That I understand.
Yeah, but is Hal gonna be that guy? Hal's that guy to talk about?
No, this is eyewash. Like this is all posturing. He's not gonna have meetings with anyone. It's Brian Cashman's job to make the team better, not Hal. Hal's not making the phone calls to other GMs, being like, "Hey, we'll let's get a deal done here." What's he gonna say? He's not gonna go tell Cashman you got to go out and get another starting pitcher. Fuck, Cashman knows that.
It's impossible for me to think about Hal Steinbrenner without thinking about Larry David playing George Steinbrenner, because I think that's exactly how he talks. He talks like Larry David talking like George Steinbrenner.
George Steinbrenner. Yeah,
that's how. I think that's how I trained his voice. Mm-hmm. So yeah, every meeting. Well, you know, I can't get out of my head. If Aaron Judge, Aaron, you're doing a lot of great things, and
he does talk like that.
Yeah. I know he does.
He's awkward. Exactly like very that. Awkward.
Yeah.
And then he cited the injuries in base running as the number one reasons for the underperformance of the team so far to date. And the base running thing kind of caught me by surprise. Logan, I said, you said, oh, they've been a terrible base running team. I mean, we looked up the numbers. They have not been a good base running team. They've been bottom of the league in most base running categories. Again, I just wouldn't have said that. That wouldn't have popped in my mind as why is the team underperforming.
Hey, nerds, I need a talking point. Give me a stat that no one's talking about. Give me one of them. Oh, base running. Like, base running. That's it. Base running.
Yeah. How about injuries? Number one, far and away. Your general manager has not acquired a player since last July that can
stay on the field.
Yeah. And number two,
step on the field, not stay on the field. Step on the field.
Number two is definitely offensively, this team is underperformed. And I understand injuries are a part of that, but you've had many chances with runners on base, and they're just atrocious offensively with runners on base.
But base running.
Base running doesn't help. Bad base running doesn't help because you already don't.
It makes bad things worse.
Absolutely. You make outs on the bases and you're going to kill any scoring opportunities you have, which already you're not capitalizing on.
Yeah. Yep. I would love to be a fly on the wall for those meetings that don't happen.
Yeah. Well, before we talk about the rest of the series, got to tell you guys about Shady Rays. It is almost summertime, and our friends at Shady Rays have you covered with premium polarized shades that are just as good as expensive pair you can buy. They also have the most insane protection in all of eyewear, which covers you if you break or lose your pair, no questions asked. They have over 200,000 five-star reviews for a reason. The glasses are lightweight and durable, and they are built for outdoor activities. They have dozens of styles and color combinations to choose from for both men and women. Father's Day is coming up. It's about a month away, and it's a great opportunity to get your dad some sunglasses and a pair for yourself, because if you go to ShadyRays.com and use our promo code Bronx for 50% off two or more pairs of polarized sunglasses, then you can get the two pairs. Wear one for yourself, wear one for your dad. Thank you, Shady Rays. The one game they did lose, the Blue Jays pitching staff absolutely shut them down. Chris Bassitt is on a hell of a run, 23 consecutive scoreless innings. Cole was good as well, six shutout innings. And then they did have a bunch of opportunities, Toronto did. They had 10 hits, five walks against the Yankees pitching staff. Holmes, though, getting out of that situation in the seventh when Cole, because Cole pitched into the seventh inning, he gets pulled. Holmes comes in after Cole allowed back-to-back hits to start the inning, and Holmes got out of that. This is now like five straight appearances for Holmes in sometimes very messy innings, locking it down.
Yeah, and they're certainly deploying the, you know, high leverage situation. There's no closer right now. There's not. There's a they're just deploying what they believe is the appropriate fire extinguisher for said situation. And you're right, it's Holmes is performing well in these situations. So I don't want them to change what they're doing in that way. The bullpen has been a massive strength of this team for the entire season. And you even see him Boone going back to some guys. Like, if we're going to applaud Boone for some things, like I think the bullpen management is one of those. You're getting contributions from guys that you don't expect it. And even with a guy like Marinaccio, who struggled mightily, getting him back into, granted, it was kind of forced upon you because of how thin everything is. Thank you, Domingo, and some of the starting pitching woes, but Marinaccio getting back to the well, him coming out there, because he's everything we've seen from that guy is not the dude that's been beat up for the past 3 to 4 outings. Went back to him, performed well. But yeah.
Well, you're right that Boone didn't have a choice, right? Like, he didn't have a choice in Thursday's game. You had no one available. And I know that Wandy Peralta didn't throw a lot of pitches in his previous two outings, but it's the getting up and getting ready for the outing. They don't like to use guys 3 days in a row, whether you throw one pitch or 50 pitches, because it's the process of getting up that's, I think studies have found, is the stress on the arm. Yes, pitches are also a stress, but like, whether you throw 15 pitches or 25 pitches, that's not going to make as much of a difference as getting your arm ready to go into a game and actually pitching.
It's the same preparation process, unless you're Ian Hamilton coming in for Domingo Herman on short notice. Yeah. But yeah, it's the same preparation process. So you're getting, you know, warmed up, you're getting your arm loose and ready to get in. So yeah, I get that. I got nothing, no qualms about, you know, having some kind of a policy about guys and how often they're coming in based on them warming up to get in. Dellin Betances
ruined his career. And then bunch of injury updates before we talk about upcoming series. Severino, as I said, expected to start Sunday in Cincinnati. In his second rehab outing, he gave up 6 hits and 2 runs in 3 1/3 innings. The line wasn't good, but he felt good, and right now the Yankees need him pitching for them. So he'll take Herman's spot in the rotation while he's suspended. And so 10 games. So it's only one start, technically, right?
Isn't that two starts?
Yeah, but then you just start on the sixth day.
I guess, but you're still skipping. I mean, yeah, it would be another day, but then it's disrupting what you're doing.
It should be fine because they do have an off day on Monday. So you could just kind of use that off day as like a regular like day, keep the rest of the rotation on schedule until it gets to Herman's suspension's up.
Yeah, because it's 10 games. So
right.
When is that? Can you, Logan, quickly look at the schedule and find out when the 11th game from. So it's that his suspension starts the Wednesday game, right?
The game after the Tuesday after the ejection, I would say.
Wednesday's game is his first suspended game, which also kind of shouldn't be because, like, he's not going to pitch in that game anyway. But fine, whatever.
The way I understand it is May 28th, he would be eligible. So
day after our event. So yeah, we're not going to see Herman. Thank you.
Right now we're slated for Luis Severino against Ryan Weathers.
That's what we said. Second outing for Severino coming back.
So that would be cool. But the way Fangraphs has it laid out is that he wouldn't start until May 30th at Seattle. So I'm wondering if they're just basically saying because of the off day, they have an off day on May 22nd. That they could just like pretend like he's starting there and just skip him and then just keep the rotation in order and then he just slots in.
Yeah, don't mess up everyone else. I guess that makes sense. Jose Trevino was sidelined with a hamstring injury, placed on the IL. Ben Rortvedt, who we have not seen since acquiring from Minnesota, 324 batting average, 5 extra base hits, and 9 RBIs so far with Scranton this year. Called up Benny Biceps. Ian Hamilton, as you said, placed on the IL with groin strain. Nick Ramirez called up. Donaldson had a setback. He guess he sliced his finger open while putting something together at his house. So, what do you think
do that? It happens.
Yeah, what do you think he was doing?
I don't know what he was putting together, but I remember when I was in high school, I was I don't even know where the hell I was. I was at a you know, someone's basement. That's because I feel like that's where we always were, someone's basement. And it had, like, you know, those Altoid cans. When you take the Altoid can the top off, if it gets bent at all, it's really hard to get back on. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. So I was trying to put it back on. And the other thing about the Altoid can, I don't know if it's still the case, but it was like razor sharp. It's like very thin metal at the edge. And it sliced the living shit out of my thumb. I mean, just sliced it open. Still have a scar for that. So you can slice your fingers on many things.
Yeah, but he was putting something together. You think it's like something for
his kids?
Maybe
he was putting an Altoid can back together.
You think it was like something for his kids? Like maybe he's got some IKEA furniture? Is Donaldson buying IKEA furniture, having to put that stuff together?
Yeah, anything from Amazon that gets shipped to you, you got to put together, right? So could be a number of things. But
I've cut open my hands. So we get, especially with the new baby coming, roughly 9 Amazon packages delivered to my house daily. And so I got to crush up the boxes. And I've just gotten to the point, actually a little bit of a stress relief. I punch the boxes to just open up the bottom of them. Mm-hmm. I have a razor blade in my garage. Literally right there. But no, I'd rather punch the crap out.
Yeah.
And sometimes, though, the Amazon, you know how that tape that easily rips? Sometimes, though, you get the heavy tape on it and you got to go a couple rounds to get through that sucker. And so it's like I got just my knuckles are just like cut up from. So maybe that's what he was doing.
Yeah. They got that that paper tape, but it's got some like fiberglass little strands in it, you know, that they keep it together.
Yeah, but sometimes, like, if you get something heavy, they'll put that on it, but then they'll put actual packing tape over it. And then so you got double tapes of two different consistencies, kind of like Domingo Herman's sticky hand. Maybe he was using packing tape.
There's sticky stuff on packing tape, you know? Maybe there's a wet, maybe chewing tobacco, when you rub it on the back of packing tape actually takes the consistency of the stickiness off of the tape onto your tobacco.
So do we know if Herman is traveling with the team for the next 10 days or is he going to just go back home?
Does he have a home?
I'm guessing he has a home.
I don't know.
It's like, what do you think, like on the flight out of Toronto, like they making him sit in the back of the plane with John and Susan?
I feel like they're like, guys, let's go. Domingo's in the bathroom. Let's go. Let's go.
Let's get out of here. Make him go through TSA.
Yeah. Yeah. He's getting
make
busted.
Him fly commercial. Make him fly commercial coach, like Spirit Airlines back to New York.
Yeah. And then they probably plant something in his bag. Just
middle
so that,
seat.
Yeah. He's going to get the full rubber glove treatment.
It would not shock me if he goes through TSA with like a pound of weed. Just like.
Oh, not at all. In fact, that might be the end. That might be how we get rid of him once and for all.
So that is how Domingo Germán is eventually going down, is getting popped for something stupid going through TSA.
Yeah. Oh, there's, if you were to give a percentage chance of one player on this team to get busted for drugs through TSA, it's Domingo Germán, 100%.
Or no, something stupid like shoplifting from
like the Jameis Winston when he's shoplifting crab legs. Yeah. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
I think he did that when he was at Florida State.
Or it's like Germán trying to skip out on like a bar tab or something like that. Just like something really dumb.
Something really stupid. Yeah.
Yeah. like taking or just like pissing in an Uber or something something just vile,
yeah, or on like the outside of a bathroom. It's ridiculous.
Carlos Rodon played catch from varying distances and they're hoping he can be back by end of June. Okay, I'll believe that when I see it. And yeah, Giancarlo is really close to getting back into game action, could be back by the end of the month, so that's exciting.
That's huge. I mean, that's a massive thing. So if he can get back and get this team, some help offensively, big deal. Huge bat right there. You know, who also has a huge bat in big moments? Anthony Volpe. Yeah. I love this kid more and more. I watch him every day. He fooled Michael Kay on that home run. I think was it the ninth inning when he hit it last night. It was a laser off the foul pole. The kid just in big moments, he's there, man. He's there, and he's got a lot more power than I was expecting too. 7 home runs on the season, I believe. He's got a lot more pop in that bat that I was expecting. So he's faster and better on the base path than I was expecting. He's got more power than I was expecting. He's the real deal.
So it looks like Stanton could be back end of May, then Donaldson shortly after that in early June. And then if all goes really well, it would be Rodon end of June. But like, I don't
know. We'll see.
Yeah. There's a lot of time for
Frankie Montas is like, you know, lurking around that time frame, isn't he?
No, thanks. Pass. We've got the Reds coming up on the schedule. They stink. They're 5 games out of the NL Central. Schmidt versus Lively, no starter announced for the second game. That would be Brito's spot. Maybe they do an opener again. And then Severino, like I said, 11:30 start for the Peacock game on Sunday. A little brunch baseball.
This coming Sunday? Yeah. That's a little late for brunch. That's late for brunch. I'm not waiting until 11:30 to eat.
When's your brunch time?
Brunch is 10:30, 11 o'clock. 11 o'clock at the latest for me.
So you don't eat before brunch?
I mean, it depends. As I'm saying this, I realize that sometimes brunch can get later. And if that is the case, and I know that that's the case, then yes, I will have something to tide me over. But I'm not a big breakfast guy in the first place. So lunch comes screaming at me, you know, like I need it. So I'm not eating anything, huh?
What time are you doing lunch?
What time am I doing lunch? 12 o'clock. Sometimes earlier, because I eat a bar, like a granola bar, a fiber bar, actually, every morning.
When I was in high school, my mom used to pack me lunch. I would eat that lunch by like 10:15 in the morning and then buy a school lunch.
Yeah. So like 11 o'clock, I'm getting antsy.
Where I ate like 7 meals a day. Just grown boy.
Grown boy. Just not even. It doesn't stick on you. You couldn't even get it to stick on you if you wanted to. Different story today.
Between like 10th and 11th grade, I went from like 5'6 to 6'1. It's like, yeah, I needed 7 meals a day. What else was I going to say? I don't remember. Anyway.
It's a good thought.
Buy tickets to the event.
We're about to pull them. Yeah, we're very close to being sold out. So if you are, if you've been delaying, if you're on the fence, if you haven't bought them yet, I would highly suggest you get them right now, because today is Friday. Probably pulling them tomorrow at some point on Saturday.
Okay, good. It's going to be potentially Luis Severino against the Padres. It's going to be a really exciting matchup. Thank you again to Shady Rays and Athletic Greens for sponsoring us today, and for Aaron Judge for absolutely owning the Toronto Blue Jays. We will talk to you again on Monday.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Bronx Pinstripe Show. Make sure you find us on iTunes and subscribe so you can get all new episodes directly onto your phone. If you do like the show, we'd love for you to take a minute and give us a 5-star rating and review in iTunes. It really helps us out and allows us to create more shows. We're on Twitter at Bronx Pinstripes and the same on Facebook. You can always find us there talking Yankee baseball. Thanks again, guys, for your support. Really appreciate it. And go Yankees.